Well, our epistle lesson this morning talks about a particular metaphor, one that I think is extremely helpful for us, and that's the metaphor of a body. We occasionally hear people dismiss things as saying, well, that's just a metaphor, which I suppose is occasionally correct, but we live by metaphors because we can't necessarily live by what we can't explain, and the easiest way to explain things is using metaphors and similes and other figures of speech. And this is one that is especially fruitful for us because it's one that we all know. We may not know everything that goes into our bodies, but we know that it's there and we know what it's like. And what Paul is talking about here is he's obviously addressing particular issues in the church at Corinth. But the larger thing that Paul is addressing here, I think, is something that every church has at least some kind of struggle with now and then. And that's that the individual members of the church don't always know where we fit in, or don't know where we fit in best. And the trouble, of course, is that we don't come to church in a vacuum, in the sense that we somehow arrive at church with no external context whatsoever. We come to church and we engage in the practices of the community of faith coming out of the context that we have in the rest of our world, which only makes sense. We bring all of ourselves to church and we take church into all of ourselves, and that's the way it should be. But our culture is one that, no matter what initiatives we might be moving to be less hierarchical, is still a very hierarchical culture. We still are very much aware of who's in charge, of who has status and who doesn't. And it's easy for us in the church to try and figure out things from that same perspective. Who's most important? Who's least important? And there's a number of problems with that, not least of which is that it's really hard to know what's most and least when it comes to a church, or for that matter, any group of people. Most important and least important is at best a moving target, assuming you can ever get it at all. But when we spend a lot of our time trying to figure out what's most and least important, we sometimes lose track of what we're actually trying to do, and that's be a functioning body of Christ. Every individual community of faith, every church, is a representation. Once again, we're back to that metaphor idea, representation of Christ's body, in the sense that when believers get together in community, they're creating something that's greater than the sum of its parts. But the only way we can do that is if we actually pay attention to all of the parts. This is a very interesting passage of Scripture. It's one of those ones that when you're a kid, you tend to go off, well, shouldn't speak for anyone else. When I was a kid, when I heard this read, I would go off in tangents because I would imagine, what would a body be like if it was only an eye, for example, and such things, and probably lost the rest of whatever lesson might have been there. But Paul looks at this metaphor, looks at this idea of the organic nature of what it means to be in community and to be a member of a community of faith, and says, if we're not careful, we'll start thinking that this body is not what it actually is. And we'll start thinking that probably because we don't understand how we all work together. Paul puts it in these terms, I'm sure, to highlight how ridiculous it is. Because it is ridiculous. First of all, if our body parts could speak, I'm not quite sure I want to listen to what they'd have to tell me about how I didn't take care of them when I was younger, and maybe not even now. But we hear this whole idea of an ear or an eye or a foot or whatever else it is saying that, well, I don't belong because I'm not important. And the flip side being that some other body part would probably say, I'm more important than you. And we just think, well, of course that's absurd. As far as I know, we really haven't found too many parts of our body that are dispensable, that don't have some purpose, that don't have some value. It's easy to overlook them. Sometimes we don't think much of them at all. And the story that highlights this for me is of Dizzy Dean, who was a pitcher for the to the Cardinals, I think, back in the 30s. And when it comes to parts of your body that really don't seem to matter much, your little toe is probably one of the ones that you just think, well, the things I can see, because who knows what the inside of our body is like. Well, most of us don't know what the inside of our bodies are like very much. But when you think of things on the outside that you can see, you know, your little toe, well, what difference does it make? Well, Dizzy Dean was a dominating pitcher of his time. Was a tremendous baseball player. And broke his little toe. And didn't wait till it was entirely healed. Well, for lots of reasons, because, well, he was a man. That never seems to help the rehab possibilities. Back in the 30s, and didn't really understand this, and he just went back to his job as a pitcher. But it changed his delivery just a little bit, which put different pressure points on his arm, which prematurely ended his career. A little toe. Who cares? Well, as it turned out, Dizzy Dean probably should have cared a lot more. One of the difficulties that we have when we start deciding what's most important and what's least important is that we often don't really understand where these things fit in and what actually is most important. And so what Paul is telling us in this passage of Scripture is that we cannot just decide that we don't need some parts of our own physical body, and as a community of faith, as a church, we also can't decide what we don't need. And church people, being the kind of people that we are, it's not that we're looking around and saying, well, we don't need that person. What usually happens is we look at our own gifts and we say, well, the church doesn't really need mine. You say, I don't really do those things that those other people do. I'm not, well, perhaps I'm not an elder, or perhaps I don't speak in public, perhaps I don't teach, whatever it might be, whatever we're looking at that we don't do. And we say, because I don't do that, I'm not really that important. And I don't have to bring my gifts and my abilities to the church because they're just, well, no one would notice. Well, there's a couple of things wrong with that. First of all, God's going to notice. But if God has given us gifts of any kind, he's given us these gifts that we might use them for the benefit of the church and for the benefit of the world. There's some parables about this, about how when we were given things, we're supposed to make use of them, not just dig a hole and hide them somewhere. And the other thing that's wrong with it is that we need those gifts as the church. We need what you have to offer, even if you don't think you do. Sometimes even if we don't think we do, because we don't know what they are. It's very easy for us to not notice what other people do, particularly when they're behind the scenes or they're not the upfront kind of thing. But every church moves forward on the diligence and the work that everyone does. Some of the work is obvious, but lots of it, obvious as it might be, we still take it for granted. Someone has to turn the lights on. It doesn't have to be the same person necessarily, but we need the lights on. Someone needs to take care of counting the offering so we can pay the bills, so when we flip the switch, the lights actually do come on. And when we think about that, we may think that that's, oh, anybody can do that. Well, perhaps anybody can, but someone does. And we have to have that person who does. And often we think that, well, that's one of those parts of the body that aren't that important. We'll try doing without it for a while. Obviously, we have to have those kinds of things all coming together. We can't all do the same thing. There's lots of crossover. We often have more than one person teaching in a church. We often have several people who help. We often have a number of people who are part of the administrative structures of the church, whether as elders or as members of the board of managers, whatever it is that needs to be done. It's not that there's only one person who can do these things. It's that everyone who does them is of equal importance. one of the things that I often run across and what I try to resist, and it's usually just in conversation when people ask you, you know, to choose between a couple of different things, or to, you know, if you're going to lose one of your senses, which one would you lose? Well, they don't like that with me because I say none. I'm not interested in losing any of them. I don't even want to think about losing any of my senses. They're going to go away soon enough, and I want to hold on to them till. We can speculate, I suppose, about what gifts we could somehow do without in the church. But I don't want us to. I want us to instead celebrate the reality of the body of Christ and the mystery that it is that a church with only a few members, like this one, accomplishes the same things as a church with hundreds and hundreds of members. That there isn't a minimum size or a maximum size. That the body of Christ is a group of people who get together to do more than they could do as a group of individuals trying to accomplish things all on their own. And we get together and we create a body that functions just like our own physical bodies do. That's one of the mysteries of community. Is that no matter what size you are, no matter how many people we have involved, we still have enough to make a body. A small church doesn't suddenly lack a leg, to push the metaphor a bit further. And a large church doesn't have four or five legs. We don't know what to do with four or five legs. Two is enough for a body. We are one body. And by paying attention to what Paul writes here, it does a really wonderful thing. If we take seriously the idea that this community is the body of Christ for this place and for this time, it frees us from that temptation to think that someone and their gifts are either more or less important than we are. It reminds us that each of us is absolutely vital to the healthy functioning of this congregation. That none of us is superfluous, and that none of us is so much more important that if that person leaves, the whole thing falls apart. Because it doesn't work that way. The metaphor breaks down in some ways because the body remains the same whether you have people coming and going. People moving in and moving away, which is just the reality of church. The body of Christ that he has appointed to be his witness in this place is complete and full as long as all of us who are part of it use the gifts we have and celebrate the gifts that others have and bring into this body. We are one body. We are everything that we need to be. We're not lacking anything as long as we bring our gifts and talents and abilities to bear on whatever the church needs us to do. Sometimes that's speaking in front of people. Often it's taking care of things in smaller groups. Sometimes it's doing it entirely on our own to care for the larger group, and sometimes nobody even notices. Still needs to be done because that's part of what makes us this body. When we get together on a Sunday, it's a reminder that we are all in one place doing one thing, being the body of Christ. What that looks like as individuals is very different. But we can't do without any of us. And that's the same in a church of any size. I don't know what your gifts are necessarily. I know what some of yours are because I see them exercised and I enjoy the benefits of you doing so. But if you're struggling or if you're even wondering whether what you do matters, it does. If you're wondering whether your presence here is just, oh, if I don't show up, no one will notice, of course we will. because we're not the same without you. We're missing something. And yes, we can move along and continue when you go on vacation, or if you need to make a permanent relocation, we will continue. But when you're here, we need everything that you have to offer. And we want you to exercise it, because we want to be the best example of this body of Christ that we can be. We're one body. We're all connected. And each of us is every bit as vital as every other part. Amen.